Snow falling every day throughout the winter and up until and sometimes including springtime months. April showers bring May flowers and mud season. These are a few things that stick with me about growing up in the Northeast. I'm shocked and somewhat horrified as I do my springtime raking, and what I raise is not worms under leaves, but dust, lots of dust. Where is that moistness that plants and seeds need so desperately to sprout? It is April, and we have quite a few 70-plus degree days under our belt so far this year. I'm worried about what NOAA, National Weather Service, warns are elevated fire weather days in Massachusetts. I'm getting those warnings on my phone almost on a daily basis. As we celebrated Earth Day around the world over the last week, I think about its founding in 1970 as a way to remind us about the importance of the environment and our connection to the Earth. 45 years ago. To be blunt, we were assigned in the Old Testament to be good stewards of the earth, and for all intents and purposes, it seems like we have fallen asleep at the wheel. There can be no doubt that our climate is changing. It is just clearly evident at this point. Weather is becoming more extreme, and to confirm our concern about the effect of greed in our world, there has been a big push to move all water onto the market by the CEO of Nestle, the largest purveyor of bottled water in the world. He began prior to 2005 by saying that water was not a human right, and thus Nestle could suck it out of the ground at unprecedented rates and not worry about anyone who might be left dry downstream. Then somewhere over the last couple of years, pressured by criticism and people being angry, Nestle had him say something a little bit different. He changed his tune, but only slightly, and now admits that people should have access to the necessity or the necessary amount of water for human survival. He measures that in liters daily. He spouts his rhetoric via a Nestle video as he stands on his estate with massive green sprawling lawns and a lake in the background. Access to clean drinking water has become a sign of privilege and affluence. Make no mistake. The Huffington Post asked the question in 2013, how can we be so angered by the positions of our business leaders with regard to water when we seem so unaware of water's importance in our own lives? Now that is a great question. As we celebrate May Day, Beltane, let us pretend for a moment, just a moment, that we have spent the winter starving and freezing. We heat with wood and peat. Our homes are drafty. There are no grocery stores, so we have to grow our food and store it and ration it so it will last. We hunt for meat and forage throughout the winter. We go outside to get water from a well that may be frozen over or collect snow and melt it. We live off the land and are directly connected to surviving each and every day. We have the skills to survive, but there is no guarantee. Let us imagine that this has been our reality and the reality of our ancestors for generations. How would we emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually cope? What would we do? What would our rituals be to help us find courage and fortitude to make it throughout the darkest of winters? My guess is that many of our ancient ancestors hoped and prayed in the ways that they did, asking for blessings and sustenance to survive, maybe danced for rain on occasion. Today, Beltane, May 1st, spring is celebrated throughout the Northern Hemisphere, and having finally arrived is greeted with joyous celebration. In Scottish Gaelic, Beltane meant May Day. And in modern Irish Gaelic, Beltane is the name of the month of May. Bel was considered the bright one, the god of light and fire, and classical writers equated him with the god Apollo. It was and is considered good form to give thanks to whatever spirits watched over the tribe through the dark days of the Winter Queen's reign. No, allergies. Throughout towns and the countryside, all the home fires were extinguished on this day, and bell fires were lit on hilltops to celebrate the coming of life and fertility with the spring. The major feature of Beltane Festival was jumping over the fire. Young people jumped over it to bring themselves husbands or wives. It tended travelers to ensure a safe journey, pregnant women to ensure an easy delivery, young women to ensure fertility. Even cows were led through the fires to secure their productivity and good health. At the end of the festival, as the sun rose, people would take a piece of the fire home to light their hearth once again, renewed. The magical properties of Beltane fire were firmly believed in, and praise and connection to the earth and her protectors were of primary concern. It is kind of horrifying to realize how far we've fallen away from appreciating the basic necessities of survival and living sustainable lives. If all the factory farms and grocery stores closed down tomorrow, what would our world be like? Would we have the skills to survive? We have become irrevocably dependent on a system that is unsustainable and unfair. Healthy food is available for a premium price. As we face a harsh reality created during what I believe was a time of what I'd like to call complacency, maybe it's a time to pray to reach out to the gods and goddesses of our ancestors, perform their rituals, share their stories, and hope that they can help us to change our ways. The folk religions, often known as pagan because they were an alternative to Christianity, had many stories and rituals that helped to keep our ancestors in the moment, grounded, in this delicate balance between life and death. Stories and rituals from ancient Roman Empire to Greece to the Norse folk to the people of the British Isles. Each ancient culture, including the Egyptians, honored some form of a sun god, and each celebrated the returning of the sun with fire. The sun was considered the male aspect of the folk belief, while water was entirely the realm of the feminine. There were queens and goddesses that brought fertility and water to the world. It seems to reason that we do not even realize the value of water. We take it for granted because it dwells underground, and in large measure, it's invisible, unless, of course, we're thirsty. In the Beltane mythology, the arrival of May Day, with its annual battles between the Winter Queen and the May Queen, are quite prevalent in Europe. What is most important for us to note this morning is the intentionality that spring and all of the seasons and solstices were greeted with by the common folk. There was a celebration of each solstice as a way to mark the turning of the wheel of the seasons. It's clear that our ancestors were connected much closer to the earth and knew that they had to be present in their here and now. And that reason, because they wanted to survive. I would venture a guess that it was what we're missing in our own lives today, is our willingness or ability to be truly present and connected intimately to the earth. The gardeners among us know the importance of this connection, the importance of tending the soil and watering and the delicate balance that's required to sustain and promote life. I think somehow over the decades of modernity that we have lost perspective and rely on the science to save us. The same science that can and has stood on values of profit and greed in corporations such as Nestle and Monsanto, and they are not to be trusted. They share stories that feed our fears of drought and offer drought-resistant seeds that require special treatments and fertilizers that kill the pollinating bees and strip the soil of its ability to grow heirloom seeds. Is this the life we want to live? Is this the questionable food that we want to imbibe? As we celebrate Beltane, we look to the mythology and to the May Queen, who embodies purity, strength, and the potential for growth. She is the personification of the energy of the earth. The green man represents the life that grows on earth. They cannot exist without one another. When the horn god, which is the winter aspect of the green man, sees the May Queen in her maiden form, he realizes that to be with the woman he loves, he needs to undergo a transformation. As the story goes, they court one another, and the horn god prepares to surrender his life to the May Queen. The horn god dies, and the May Queen gives him renewed life energy, brings him back in his new form, the green man, so they can be together and secure the prosperity of the coming year. It's a basic sense of mythology, and I wonder, should we move beyond this ancestral mythology? What is its worth to us today? Are we far too smart to think that these folk ways of sustainability are no longer possible, and in some way subpar to scientific alternatives? Let's try an experiment this summer. Maybe some of you have tried this experiment before. Go to the store, buy a tomato, and compare it to one you've grown and lovingly cared for. How many people have tried this experiment? What's the difference? So we're being sold things that have no value and taste awful, and we accept it. Because the food we grow literally holds the essence of life itself. That is why it tastes differently. A week after Earth Day, I ask us to make a pledge to get closer to our connection with our home, the environment. Make important choices based on sustainability in where and how we take care of our water resources, where we buy local foods, and that we let go of the fairy tale that science is going to, in some way, save the day. We need to save our own day with community gardens and water conservation and policing the politics of practices of for-profit factory farms and companies such as Monsanto. We cannot allow them to have free reign anymore. On this Beltane May Day, where we celebrate and think about the coming summer, where we think about the planting and nurturing and harvesting, let us also be mindful of our place in this system. Usually on this Sunday after worship, we bring out our maypole, and yes, of course, we have one, and we dance to the music of Tom Kreskel. With ribbons in our hands, we dance and weave our intentions for a successful year. Because of scheduling, we will instead dance the maypole next week after worship. Tom is away doing a competition. But let me set the stage, giving you a week to think about what your intentions might be. Let this year be one where we truly take a stand, one that allows access for all beings, one where we make a commitment to be good stewards of our planet, just as our ancestors did before us, to wake up, to not be asleep at the wheel, to pay attention. I personally believe that Beltane is the most important annual ritual that we can possibly engage in for two main reasons. It is a time where we focus our intentions and a time where we connect to one another and to our planet. Think about it. What does our mythology tell us about our interconnection? How can our world transform towards the better? And what is our commitment to making it so? Let us be mindful as we dance and weave our future next week, and let us change the expectations and standard, celebrating each day, Earth Day, every day of the year. I invite us to enter a time of silent reflection. For this we pray, may it be so. Blessed be. Amen.